13th chapter of John. We live in a day and time when it's hard to tell who a Christian is. It used to be, when I was growing up, that you could pick them out, couldn't you? You could pick out who followed the Lord and who didn't. But things have gotten blurred. We Christians have been called a lot of things. Intolerant. People have said we're intolerant. They've called us hypocrites. And the list goes on. When my granddaughter that just graduated from Auburn was coming home from class one day, she pulled into her parking place at the little house that they had. And the house next door always had these four guys that lived there. And Megan and her three girls lived in their house. And so one of them happened to be out sitting on the side of the street. And she said, you know, for once, he wasn't drinking or smoking something funny. She said, and when I got out of the car, he spoke to me and he said, hey, how come you've never spoken to me? And she said, I didn't want to tell him, I was afraid of him. So she said, well, maybe I better do this. And so she walked over to just spend a couple of minutes talking with him. And so he started to describe the people in the neighborhood. And there was a girl up there walking her dog, and he had something to say about her and the dog, and there was someone else walking down the street and had something to say about their fashion. And she said, well, what do you say about us? He says, oh, you're easy. You're the Christian girls. And she said, well, why do you say that? He says, well, you're never drunk. You don't go out and carouse around with guys. And every Sunday you go to church. And that gave Megan pause for thought. Is that really how you tell who a Christian is? Jesus tells us one very particular way that people will know that we are his followers. John chapter 13 is a packed chapter. You begin with John's account of the Lord's Supper and Jesus washing the disciples' feet. The betrayal of Jesus is part of John 13. And then beginning in verse 31, it's almost like, just like that, Jesus changes direction and begins to teach his disciples. And if you had just one lesson that you could teach, and you know that's the only lesson you could teach, this is the one that Jesus said. Beginning in verse 31, we'll read verses 31 through 35. When therefore he had gone out, Jesus said, and this was Judas, he went out into the night after he committed to betray Jesus. So after he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You shall seek me. As I said to the Jews, I now say to you also, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Pray with me for a moment. Father, I pray that we might get it right for Jesus' sake. and your sake in this world. God, help us that you might have honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you think Jesus was serious? In the scope of 1.5 verses, he says 3 times that you love one another. He says, and I'm going to divide the message into 2 little sections. And so that'll make it easy, and that'll keep it simple. First of all, he told them how they're supposed to love one another. He said, as I have loved you. And so the obvious question then is to think about how Jesus loved his disciples. First of all, Jesus loved selflessly. Most of the love that we know today is selfish kind of love. Love that has a hook. Love that has something in it for me. Love that says, if you love me, I'll love you. Jesus loved selflessly. It was never what I can get. You see, he is one purpose. He has one purpose. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And so then Jesus came into this world, lived a sinless life for one specific purpose, to give himself a ransom for many. How many completely unselfish acts have you ever seen in your life? And yet that's exactly what Jesus talked about when he said, as I have loved you. First of all, he's loved us selflessly. Secondly, Jesus loved sacrificially. Sacrificially. There were no limits to Jesus' love. That's an incredible thing. As you read of Jesus throughout the entire New Testament, there were never limits placed on his love. You know, we draw lines in the sand and we say, I'm not going any further than that, don't we? I'll love you to this point, but then that's it for you. I'll make this much of a commitment of my life to you, but then after that, no more. You know, that's all you get. That's all you get. Jesus never placed a limit on his love, and Jesus placed no demand on the person he loved. Can you imagine that the Lord Jesus loved Judas Iscariot as much as he loved Peter and James and John? Every bit as much. Can you imagine that the Lord Jesus loved Caiaphas, the high priest, just as much as he loved any of his disciples? Can you imagine that Jesus Christ loved Herod as much as he loved his cousin John the Baptist? And yet Jesus never made a demand on any of them. He just said, I love you. I love you. Sometimes when people say that to me, and maybe it's just me, but something goes off in the back of my mind and says, yeah, what's this going to cost me? Years and years ago, I did a lot of traveling when I was in the restaurant business, and I flew all kinds of airports. And it was in the days of the Hare Krishna. Boy, didn't you ever want to be one of those? wear that robe and shave your head. Bald was good at that time. And they would be in the airports and they would give you flowers. Every time I saw one coming and they wanted to give me a flower, I said, why? Why do you want to do that? Jesus never, ever gave to a person with any kind of demand. Have you ever had people come up and they'll give you a little card? And it may be true, it may not be true, but it'll tell you on there something sad in their life, and maybe they can't respond verbally, and they'll ask you for help. We live in a day when it's almost expected when someone does something for you, there are strings attached. Jesus loved sacrificially. There were no strings attached. Jesus loved understandingly. Understandingly. He loved in spite of. In spite of. There's a little song that we learned, and we haven't sung it for a long time. It's a little chorus. And it says, Abba, Father, I belong to you. Abba, Father, I belong to you. Not because of who I am and in spite of what I do. Abba, Father, I belong to you. I rejoice and praise God that He knows me and loves me in spite of that. He knows my bad side. Now, only Carol's the only other one that knows my bad side, and I pay her handsomely not to tell people. There are times when I am so sad I could weep when I think of what God knows of me and knows of my heart. And I am ashamed to tears. And yet He understands me and loves me in spite of it. Amen. Loves me in spite of it. Who loves you that way? In spite of who you are. He loves me just as I am. I guess my favorite invitation hymn is always Don Knows Just As I Am. After all, Billy Graham's used it for I don't know how many years. But you know, it's my confession. Just as I am, without one plea. But that is blood was shed for me. Just as I am. The Lord Jesus didn't say, Bob, clean up your act. The Lord Jesus said, you need to quit that and you need to start this. One day Jesus said to me, Bob, I love you so much I died for you. I died for you. And that broke my heart. You see, Jesus loved understandingly. I wonder sometimes if we love people understandingly. Jesus also loves forgivingly. Forgivingly. Did you know that there's no failure in my life that He can't forgive? Except what I won't confess and repent of. Nothing that He can't forgive and won't forgive. I think about our relationships with people. And I wonder sometimes about the forgiveness on our part. And I can say this to you. In any relationship, there can be no real love without forgiveness. Now, having said these things concerning the love of Jesus, how can we make love a dominating characteristic of our lives? You know, mine is not always the trouble of knowing what I'm supposed to do. It's knowing how to do it. First of all, make love the priority of your life. Do you know what a priority is? A priority, simply described, is how you choose to spend your life. That's where your priorities are. Now, I get myself in the little trap, too, where I start talking about, well, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this. Who was it said that the only things you have to do is pay taxes and die? I don't know. I don't have to do a lot of things. I just choose to do them. And you need to make love a priority. Not good works. You know, I think about that, and I think about what Paul wrote. Paul, by the way, was maybe the best commentator in the world on the love question with Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses, this is what Paul said. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now that pretty much covers life. You see, it's not good works that Jesus wants from you or from me. Secondly, the Jesus priority was really very simple. People were always trying to catch Jesus in an error. How foolish is that? And there was a lawyer that asked him one day, what was the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he said, this is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang or depend the whole law and the prophets. Jesus' priority was simple. Love God and love people. Love God and love folks. And he made it just that simple. You know, we make things so hard being a Christian. We make things hard. We make demands on people that God certainly never made. If we love as Jesus, everything else works out as it should. Have you ever noticed that? If we get that part right, the rest just falls in line. Think about the commandments. If I love my neighbor as I should, I'm not going to covet his wife or his possessions. I'm not going to steal his property. If I love him as I should, I'm not going to sneak around and kill him at night. I'm not going to be his enemy and go around town and give all kinds of gossip about him. I'm not going to do it because I love him. If we get that right, the rest comes right. Secondly, love must be our distinguishing characteristic. What sets us apart? What sets you apart? Now, we were describing this morning with the children. They're a lot of fun, aren't they? You got to watch, though. They will come up with some stuff. But we were talking about what sets a person apart. Have you ever thought about that in the Christian life? What sets people apart? Some denominations are set apart by the way that they dress. Some denominations or Christian groups are set apart by the way that they speak. Quakers still speak with thee and thou. Some Christians are set apart in the way they wear their hair, in the way they wear their beads, in the way that they either use or do not use technology. And the list goes on and on and on. And the point is simply this: what sets you apart as a Christian? Now, God has always been in the business of developing a people that reflect his character to the world. Reflect the character of God to the world. I think in 1 John, let me see if I can find it real quick. In 1 John and chapter 4 and verse 16. I must have about six Johns here. 1 John chapter 4 and beginning in verse 16, it says this. It says, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You see, we're meant to be like Jesus. We're meant to be like Jesus. Jesus uses everything that comes into your life to conform you to the image of his Son. Romans 8:29 tells us that. And so we need to remember that we're advertisements, if you will, for God. Billboards. Did you ever go down the highway and you see those billboards that get your attention? It'll say, are you having trouble in your marriage? This is God, and I counsel. And they're just short quips, but they get your attention. Christians should be billboards for God. There was a little mission hospital or clinic in Eastern Africa. And one of the missionaries there noticed that the patients would come to his clinic from all over, where they would pass literally government hospitals on their way to his little mission hospital. And so he asked a fellow one time, he said, I don't understand. You walk miles and miles to come here and you pass all kinds of hospitals on the way. Why do you do that? And the fellow said, the medicine is the same, but the hands are different. I'm going to tell you something. Our hands need to be different as we handle the people in this life. Third, how can we be sure other people are getting the message? That's important, isn't it? How can we be sure other people are getting the message? First of all, it's in our attitude. We need to value all people because God does. You see, we need to be sure that people matter to us as much as they matter to God. You know, you can get wrapped up in a lot of things in this world, but if you're going to spend your life as God intended, you need to spend it on people. Not on things, not on careers, not on professions. Spend your life enriching the lives of people. And so, first of all, value all people. Secondly, be open, honest, and accountable to others. Be open to others. You know, we don't like to open up our lives. We don't like for people to see who we are inside. I've said, I'm sure you've said, well, you know, I've got that little place in here that's just for me and nobody else. When we open up to people, we open ourselves up to a broken heart, don't we? Did you know that when you open yourself up to people, there are people that will abuse you? But the point is this, if you don't, if you're not genuine, if you're not the real deal, the world is good at spotting a fake. Third, there's a cost. The most costly investment that you will ever make is in people. You have to get your hands dirty. You'll have to spend all that precious time that you want for yourself. You'll have to take a chance. You'll have to step out of your comfort zone. But I promise you this. Love like Jesus steals hearts for Jesus. Wednesday night, I told a story about Bob Pierce. He's the fellow that eventually organized and founded World Vision. I told a story from the beginning of his time as a missionary, and I want to tell, might be the last story about him. He had advanced stages of leukemia at the end of his life. He was dying, and yet he had a desire to visit a colleague, a fellow worker in Indonesia. And so he went there, and they were walking along by the side of this muddy, filthy river, and there was a little girl laying on just a mat in the mud by the side of the river. The little girl was dying of cancer. Bob was irate, and he said, "How can people leave this little child laying here like this?" And the missionary with him said, "No, you don't understand. She's bush people. And this is where she wants to be. She wants to be by the river that she loved." And he got down in the mud on his knees. And he brushed some of the mud away from her hair. And she looked up at him and she said something. And he looked at the missionary and he said, "What did she say?" She said, "If I could only sleep again, if I could only sleep again." See, she was in so much pain, she couldn't sleep. Before he had gone to Indonesia, Bob had gone to his doctor and he had got a prescription for pain pills because many nights the pain would be so bad that he couldn't go to sleep. And so the pills would help him sleep. And he took out the pills and he gave them to his friend. And he said, "You see that this child sleeps as long as the medicine lasts." And it wasn't like he could go to CVS. The closest place he could replenish his supply was 10 days away. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." Yes. "That you love one another." Do they know? Let's pray. Oh God, I pray for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of your precious and sweet and holy name, that people might know your love as it's reflected in us. I pray, Father, that in each of our lives we'd make first things first. And just simply be lovers of people. Oh God, that we might love them the way you love us. that they might come to know you. They might be saved. God help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, you need to have opportunity to respond to him. I pray that if he's spoken to you, you won't just walk out of this place, but I pray that you will respond to him. We're going to wait just a moment. Praise team's going to sing the hymn of invitation, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I pray that it is with yours this morning. As they begin to sing, will you come to Jesus?